Alpha-pinene is the predominant compound that these other compounds fall down under. Sesquiterpenes perhaps has to be the most exciting one of all of our compounds. In frankincense, myrrh, lavender, peppermint, lemon, many, many of the oils, melissa, cedarwood, all contain high levels of sesquiterpenes. Here's the crystal of the frankincense, the white one. That's called Halgeri. And I said, thank you so much for calling it Halgeri. The brown frankincense crystals that we see here, this is a lesser grade. And that was what was produced for the peasants. The white Halgeri was only produced for the kings and the queens. The white Halgeri is what was taken to the Christ child in Bethlehem. And they distilled it here at this lost city of Ubar. And this is where the resin and the oil was taken from here to Bethlehem for the Christ child. This is the principal frankincense area today, about 150 kilometers out of Salalah. This was the port where the frankincense trade took place from India and China and Africa, all over Egypt. The boats would sail into this port right here. And Queen of Sheba built a big castle there, a fortress, and she controlled the frankincense trade before 300 A.D. In 300 A.D., the city of Ubar was destroyed by an earthquake, and the distillation of frankincense oil ceased and had never been distilled since then until we distilled it last January. So frankincense has been looked at by the ancient people as the holy anointing oil. It's written about in your Bible as the holy anointing oil. There are over 52 references throughout your Bible to frankincense. Let's go to the modern text now, scientific research, and see why frankincense might have been so popular. Alpha-pinene, monoterpenes, the primary compounds. Sesquiterpenes, this compound right here. Doesn't mean a whole lot to you at this moment, but I believe that what I share with you now will change your life forever, and certainly the feeling of this oil. Sesquiterpenes were documented in 1994 at the Berlin and Vienna universities as having the ability to go beyond the blood-brain barrier and increase the oxygen around pineal pituitary as much as 28%. Now, we have been told and we know from medical research and medical science that if we can increase the oxygen around the brain, we can alleviate depression. If we can increase oxygen around the brain, we can reverse the symptoms of Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's, Alzheimer's, and MS. And medical science has been looking for the answer to that for how many years? And here it is, just discovered, the compound of sesquiterpenes found in frankincense, found in myrrh, found in sandalwood, found in melissa, found in cedarwood, found in lavender, found in lemon, found in peppermint oil. Many oils contain sesquiterpenes, but naturally at different levels. So we look at the compounds here that are responsible for frankincense having the action of being anti-guttural, expectorant, breaking up plaque and guttar in the body and discharging it from the body, cicatricin, preventing scar tissue, anti-tumoral, with a question mark. Because at the time of this writing, in the early 1980s, they had not documented that frankincense was anti-tumoral. But they saw evidence of it in clinical studies. The evidence now has been documented because frankincense contains sesquiterpenes, and sesquiterpenes are anti-tumoral, and they're listed as anti-blastic action, meaning to destroy a foreign object in the body. And so it is now a known fact that frankincense is anti-tumoral. It's an immunostimulant. How many of us could stand to have our immune system stimulated a little bit today, tomorrow, the next day, every day? Absolutely. I don't think there's a person in this room that wants to be a victim of what is out there and what we know about today with all of the new viruses. I mean, we've been such good people. We've been blessed with a new polio virus, a new hepatitis virus, a new tuberculosis virus. Why? Because of the mutations. Why are these things mutating? Because our bodies do not have the ability and the strength to destroy. Because there's been so much compromising. How many new flus do we get every winter? At least one if we're good at Christmas, right? Every year there's a brand new flu virus that's turned loose. The Dengue virus, the Hanta virus, the flesh-eating virus, the Ebola virus. All of these things have evolved just in the last 10, 15 years, and we don't think about it. They use frankincense to treat bronchitis, catarrh, asthma, ulcers. Cancer of the question mark. Why? Because they don't know which cancers frankincense will reverse. because they hadn't had the time to study all of the 700 different varieties of cancer. But what they do know is that frankincense has been very effective in reversing prostate cancer, breast cancer, basal cell, carcinomas. That's a pretty good start for one tiny little drop of oil, isn't it? How many of you would sooner snort frankincense than take Prozac? Yeah, slightly. Well, look at there. Nervous depression. It's an antidepressant. Why? Because it oxygenates the brain. And the cause of depression is loss of oxygen to the brain. And why does that happen? Because we're drinking soda pop. We're eating sugar. We're eating salt. We're eating foods with preservatives. We're eating foods that have genetic engineered compounds in them. We are not eating foods that are alive. We're eating dead food. You can't nourish and have a live body feeding it dead food, folks. You cannot have a strong immune system that's going to fight everything that goes along if you're feeding it dead food. You can't live on hot dogs, hamburgers, Twinkies, and soda pop and expect to be free of disease. It is impossible. It will not happen. So it's a matter of time when that virus or bug is going to catch you if you live that way. You've got to have good water. You've got to have good air. You've got to have good exercise. You've got to have good food. And then you can build a good body. And when you use the tools that God has given you, then you stand a wonderful chance of having life again. Let's go to lavender. All of you are familiar with the beautiful smell of lavender if you're not familiar with the oil. Let's look at this one. Lavender oil. There it is. Sesquiterpenes. How many of you have smelt lavender oil? Wonderful, isn't it? We look at the esters. We look at the sesquiterpenones. We look at the aldehydes. We look at the lactones. And this is what's really exciting. When we understand that sesquiterpene and lactones are anti-blastic action, then we absolutely identify that lavender is an anti-carcinogenic activity. And it has been documented now. Go to the university research. Dr. Michael Gould at the University of Wisconsin did a study with lavender oil and found that in lavender oil have been shown to work against breast cancer in laboratory animals. Okay, how much more documentation do you need? And yet we're running over to have our breasts cut off and have chemotherapy. And it's documented, lavender oil, as a anti-tumoral agent. Lavender oil contains coumarins. What are coumarins? They use coumarins to make coumadin and warfarin as a blood thinner. And it's deadly poison. And they give it to rats to kill the rats, and they give it to you, and what does it do to you? Same thing, eventually. There's your Young Living lavender field. We have over 700 acres in lavender. Let's look at some of the things that medical science has been telling us about lavender. It's an antispasmodic. It's calming. It's used for treating insomnia. Why? Because it contains esters and aldehydes, and they're calming to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. Very, very effective. It's a cicatricin. It prevents scar tissue, just like frankincense. It regenerates tissue. It's a cardiotonic. How many people here on heart medication? You might want to snort a little lavender. Anti-infectious for variable staphs. Anti-inflammatory. They use it to treat nervous conditions and spasm in the solar plexus, insomnia, infectious dermatitis. How many people here have allergies? Lavender for treating allergies. Ulcers, cramps, cardiac, tachycardia, phlebitis, paraphlebitis. Think about it, folks. There are a lot of folks here that probably have varicose veins. Might be interesting to see what could happen with a little bit of lavender. Let's look at what Warwick University in England says about lavender. Widely used in aromatherapy for the treatment of burns and scalds. How many in this room have ever had a burn? How many have had a burn and used lavender oil? Has there been a difference? Absolutely. You bet. Lavender, pure lavender. And again, we come back to the pure lavender. We'll cure, we'll heal, we'll regenerate the tissue of a first, second, third degree, or fourth degree thermal burn without a scar. And it's been very exciting. I had a lot of people that didn't believe that that could possibly be. And because we have children, particularly, being burned all the time from pulling kettles off from the stove on them, from touching the oven, whatever. Always. And so I've been working on a burn spray, something that would be really gentle for children. So I took water and I restructured the molecular structure of water so the lavender oil would emulsify in the water. Because when you burn, what happens is you dehydrate, you take all the moisture out of the skin. And as a result of that, then it creates the scarring and the disfiguration because you can't get the water back into the tissue fast enough. So I mixed a little aloe in with the water. I put the lavender oil in with the water to make a rehydration of the spray. and I couldn't find a volunteer to test it to see if it worked. And I didn't want to make a label and put it on the market and then discover it wouldn't work. So I took a 920-degree soldering iron and laid it on my arm and fried my arm. And my wife sprayed it after I pulled the soldering iron off. And Dr. Friedman, medical doctor, was there, witnessed the thing, declared it a fourth-degree burn. It burned an eighth of an inch down into the flesh. Sprayed the spray on there. The pain stopped instantly and never felt another feeling since. And not only that, it's been about 5 weeks now since that happened. And this gal can come up and look at my arm. She can feel it, and she can tell you what she feels.
It feels the same. The tissue feels the same.
Is there any hair growing where it was burned?
Yeah.
Hair doesn't grow back in a fourth-degree burn, does it? There you can see it right after it was burned. Here where it burned down into the flesh, and you can see the indent into the forearm there where it burned. The tissue totally filled in, totally regenerated, and from the time she sprayed my arm, I could grab my arm and rub it, and there was no pain. No pain. Not 1 second of pain. It is the most beautiful thing that we have, and yet we don't even give thought to it. We don't even recognize the value that we have. And I think of all the children that have suffered with burns for days and weeks and been disfigured because of it, and it isn't necessary. And, you know, I had 280 people in the room when I did this, and they were screaming. Two women ran to the bathroom and threw up. The whole room was full of burnt flesh smoke. It was a stinking situation. But I believe in what I create, and I believe in the power of what we have. And I wanted to prove it, and I proved it and validated it. And there's still discoloration there a little bit, and that'll be gone. It'll be gone in a short time. But there is no scar there. Do you see any sign of a scar?
There's a little bit of redness, but there's no indentation or anything. It's totally filled in.
Okay. And that's the value that we have. Okay, let's go on. We wonder, you know, we run down to the store and we buy all these pharmaceutical things and then we wonder why they don't work and why we still suffer with the problems. Look at the other things that lavender has been documented to do for the human being. Inflammation, wounds, ulcers, eczema, dermatitis, fainting, headaches, migraine, influenza, insomnia, hysteria, tension, infection, acne, asthma, rheumatism, and arthritis. How many prescriptions would you have to go to your doctor and get to just cover half of what lavender will do for you? And all you have to do is snort it and wear it. Okay? That's why we have a bumper sticker in Young Living that says, "We do not do drugs, we do oils." Okay, this is peppermint. And guess what? There we go again. Sesquiterpenes, esters, coumarins. And we look over here at the indications of what they do. The doctors prescribe peppermint oil for liver and pancreas function. Now, if you remember what I said in the beginning, the human body, the brain, the secretagogues of the pineal, pituitary, hypothalamus produce human growth hormone. It has to be picked up by the receptor sites, taken through the blood to the liver. The liver has to be functioning normally in order to convert it to insulin-like growth factor. Then it goes to the pancreas. The pancreas has to be working properly. It has to be balanced in insulin so it converts the insulin-like growth factors with the progesterone, the testosterone, the estrogen, for balancing the human body. So the pancreas and the liver have to be balanced. They have to be functioning. Here's a oil that balances liver and pancreas deficiencies. All right, how much more do we need to see here before we start waking up to the reality of what we have been given here? But again, I come back to state, it has to be pure oil. It cannot be a cut oil. It cannot be an adulterated oil. It cannot be a synthetic oil. And it cannot be a low-grade distillation oil. The quality has to be there. We are growing 300 acres of peppermint in Utah and 300 acres of peppermint in our new farm that we're developing with Stephen Segal in Northern California on organic soil. This crop last year, 1998, produced 210 pounds of oil per acre. It has never happened in the history of peppermint growing until last year. And it's totally organic. And if you question that, come this summer, we will give you a field to weed. So you really get an understanding of what organic means. We had 136 workers in the field all summer with 7 tractors cultivating and 2 teams of horses cultivating to try and stay ahead of the weeds. It's a major, major job. But the peppermint oil is so invaluable because it oxygenates the brain. It helps in producing secretagogues of human growth hormone. It helps in balancing liver and pancreas function. So you've got that total balance for immune function, hormonal function. This was the peppermint being distilled in 1997. If you look at the cookers, you notice the handles here on the cookers, how they look in 1997. When Mary shows you how they looked in 1998, it'll be different. Why? Because I'm constantly revising and changing my operation to improve the quality of distillation. Boilers are used to produce steam. The steam comes up through the cookers, opens the plant fiber, the molecule comes out, it travels with the steam through the Swan-Eck, and then down through the condenser and into the separator. And this is what I did during the winter of 97-98. I converted all of my lids over to a whole different closure system. I put injection into the top of the lids here to preheat it so we didn't have refluxing of the oils back into the plant material, which causes homogenizing of the oil, and we lose some of those precious molecules. This was the early stages of development. The plant material's in here. The steam comes from the boiler up through, opens the plant material. The oil comes down through the condenser. 220 tubes in here with the cold water running on the outside. The steam molecules comes together. Oil molecule separates from the oil, comes into the separator here, and then up, and we drain it off into the gallon containers. Now it's into 45-gallon containers as we advance the distillery. This is a 250-horse boiler. We have a 350-horse boiler that sets to the south of this one, and in 2 weeks we're taking delivery on a brand-new 800-horse boiler from the factory in California. As we're expanding the distillery to over 40 cookers. We have 11 cookers in place in Utah right now. We're the largest single private-owned oil-producing company in the world today. Yes?
Now, I'd just like to know if you can tell me about the growth of these plants and whether they're influenced with any pesticides, herbicides, or insecticides.
Okay, absolutely. Good question. How are the plants grown, and do herbicides and pesticides affect the plants? Herbicides and pesticides affect every plant, regardless of the plant and regardless of what it's being grown for. Now, what people will tell you, that with essential oils, the pesticides and herbicides stays in the fiber and doesn't cross with the essential oil. And I will tell you that that's not a true statement, because the oils are extracted with steam, and steam carries chemicals. And so the chemicals that are on the plant fiber, when the steam goes through it, it just picks that chemical up and carries it right with the oil, right over the Swan neck and through the condenser and into the separator. People who spray their fields that are producing oils for aromatherapy, you're getting the chemicals with the oil. The other thing that happens is you get a tremendous amount of molecular structural changes when that happens. That is why we grow organically, and we are very specific with our growers and our producers that they grow organically. A lot of our oils, our plants, are wildcrafted. We cannot get every single one of them naturally as organic as we desire, but that's our goal, and that's what we're producing, 12 of our own essential oils from our own farms right now. We have four farms, one in St. Mary's, our farm in Utah, our joint project with Steven Seagal in California, and a joint project in France and developing one in Spain. So we continue to keep evolving. So we're in charge of producing our own oils, so we know that what you have in your bottle is the best that exists in the world. No competition exists here. Other people are jumping in the bandwagon and trying to come along behind and put oils on the market. One, they have not spent 15 years researching and studying to learn about it. They just see it's a market, and that's all they're concerned in, is putting something on the market. Put something in the bottle, throw a label on it, throw it on the market, and you're the victim. Here's the Clary Sage, your Clary Sage. I stand 5'9", so you can look at that at about 5'3", the top of that Clary Sage plant. We have produced the highest quality of Clary Sage oil that's ever been documented in the world. Your basil field, 80 acres of organic basil. You can see the weeds there. You know, you don't see that in a chemical treated field. Your Roman chamomile field. And our sprinkler system is brand new. We are the first farm to put this system in. It's a solar-powered irrigation system, conserving the energy. And when we went to that system, we conserved 60% of our water. In fact, I have two big irrigation wells on this farm that produce 6,000 gallons of water per minute, and we shut one well down after going and converting to this irrigation system. Young Living is very conscious about taking care of the planet. And the best way you can do it is not use chemicals. And I was loading the peppermint in the wagon pulled by horses, because it's important three things that are really important for balance for the human being, and that's earth, plants, and animals. We have over 300 animals on the farm. This is the loading of the peppermint. This machine we built. Most of the equipment on the farm, I engineer it and build it because we can't buy it in the United States. There's your Melissa field. Monty Holmes, this man right here, 65 years old, congestive heart failure, rheumatoid arthritis, and a prosthesis in the knee because of rheumatoid arthritis. He was bedridden and on 13 medications when I met him 5 years ago. He has no medication today, he has no rheumatism, no arthritis, and has no congestive heart failure. And a year ago, his blood pressure was 220 over 160. I put him on HRT and helichrysum, and in 5 weeks, his 85% blockage. He was documented with 85% arterial blockage. They want to do bypass surgery, helichrysum, HRT, and in 5 weeks, his blood pressure was 120 over 75 and has not changed one day since then. And this man works 14, 16 hours a day, six, sometimes 7 days a week during harvest. And he's 68 today. This is myself cultivating with one of my teams. We have 20 teams of horses on the farm. And we use them every day. We use them for hauling manure, spreading manure. We use them for feeding. We use them for hauling hay. We use them in the field now cultivating. And my teams, they take these young kids that's never ever worked a team of horses before, and they teach them how to drive them. We have been given 40,000 acres to harvest juniper off from because the people that own the land, they want to clear it. They want to put it into grass and grazing for cattle. And it is the most beautiful juniper oil that has ever been processed. High in the mountains in the Wasatch Range, has been free of pollution. And the oil is just an outstanding oil. It's the oil that you're getting. If you're ordering juniper, that's what you're getting right out of our juniper trees. So the essential oils are so fabulous because of the value that they give to you. Number one, bringing the oxygen levels up in your blood. Opening the lymphatic system in the brain so your immune system can turn on. Stimulating and promoting better human growth hormones, secretion and receptivity. And that is really one of the number one keys to having longevity and having good health. Another oil that's really precious is lemon oil. We look at lemon oil, and it has a vitamin P-like action. It's antiseptic. It's antiviral. It's used for treating insomnia. It's used for treating insufficiencies in the veins like phlebitis and thrombosis. Why? Because it contains coumarins. So all we have to do is we look for the natural compounds in the plant, and we find it in the oil, and we use it, and we don't have to use the pharmaceutical prescription drugs. Flavonoids. All of you that have read and studied about pycnogenol know that the action in the pycnogenol comes from flavonoids. All of you that have read about St. John's wort know that the action of St. John's wort comes from the flavonoids. You cannot find higher action of flavonoids than you'll find in lemon and orange oil. In a higher concentration, it doesn't exist. And all you have to do is diffuse it in your home and breathe it. Wear it on the bottom of your feet. Enjoy it. Put it in a glass of water and sip on it. I don't know how many of you saw my wife put peppermint in my water. Well, water's boring. It tastes good when you put a drop of peppermint in there. It tastes good when you put a drop of lemon in there, a drop of orange, a drop of grapefruit. But it's also very soothing for the throat, for the digestive system. Peppermint oil and this water right here is one of the most beautiful things you can do if you've got an upset stomach. Or if you have a fever. If your little baby is running a fever. One drop of peppermint oil on the bottom of that little babe's feet and that fever will be gone in less than a minute. If the little baby has an upset tummy, take peppermint, rub it on the hands, put five or six drops in the hands, rub the hands, put one hand on the tummy, one hand on the lower back, and just hold it. And in less than 30 seconds, that babe will stop crying. That fever will come down. Headaches. Drop of peppermint on the hands. Hold the forehead. Hold the back of the head. In less than 30 seconds, the fever comes down. The child, the adult, relaxes and starts to find peace in what's going on in the body. Essential oils detoxify the body. When you start taking them, because they attack chemicals, they digest chemicals. And so if you have a heavy chemical saturation, you can find your body creating a rash because they'll start to come out in the skin. Unless you're buying them someplace and they're synthetic chemicals and you're getting a chemical rash.
Between inhalation, absorption, and ingestion, I wondered what's the best method of intake into the body?
Okay, good question. The best method of intake into the body, skin. is really your number one best, and the reason why is because when you take oils internally, the hydrochloric acids and the pepsin in the stomach, which is responsible for the digestion of protein, and remember that essential oils are protein structures, so what's going to happen to that protein molecule when there are acids in the stomach for the digestion of protein? The acids will dissolve the essential oil. You will still get a tremendous amount of value because you'll get a lot of absorption in the buccal cavity, sublingual, and through the throat as it goes into the stomach. You'll have about 50 to 60% absorption before it ever hits the stomach. Now, number two, when you put essential oils on the skin, it goes into the skin, into the lymph fluid, into the bloodstream, and will go through the entire human body in 20 minutes or less and saturate every single cell in the human body and then exit itself, or it is spent. With inhalation, you're getting a direct action into the brain through the lymphic system, which is triggering immune response, which is triggering hormonal response, digestive response, sexual response. All three applications are extremely beneficial. But if I had to just say which is number one, I would say topical, because you get a more overall use of it, you get an overall response, and you have less allergic reaction topically. For people that are just learning, just beginning, the best is to start through applying oils to the feet. Get a diffuser. Diffuse the oils in your home, particularly if you want to increase the human growth hormone activity in your body. I made a new oil blend 3 weeks ago. We call it Brain Power. Those oils in there are high in sesquiterpenes for going in and digesting the chemicals in the brain and removing the brain fog so we can think again, so we can be clear. We can have the clarity that we desire to have so we do not become a victim of what's happening. The immune system can turn on and function again. I make a lot of different formulas for supporting immune function. An oil blend that I took right out of the Bible called Exodus, right out of the chapter called Exodus. Why I give it the name, Exodus. And I selected those oils because those oils are immune stimulating. They're antiviral. They're antitumoral. I took the same formula. And this is so beautiful here. Take thou also unto thee principal spice of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and sweet cinnamon, half so much, and sweet calamus, and thou shalt make an oil of holy anointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary, it shall be a holy anointing oil. Now, folks, how much more do you need than have it documented and authored by your own father? Do we have to constantly keep running and asking the Cancer Control Center, when are you going to come up with a treatment for cancer? When are you going to come up with a treatment for AIDS? When are you going to come up with a treatment for arthritis? Folks, it's here. It's here. You've had it this whole time. Look at here in Psalms. And all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Read in Psalms again. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Why did the Egyptian people experience oils because of Moses? Why did Moses direct the people to go from the doorpost to the doorpost of the Israelites and put the lamb's blood on the doorpost? How many of you know that in the lamb's blood, hyssop oil was put in the lamb's blood before it was put on the doorpost with the hyssop bush itself? Yes, because it was antiviral. And the plague passed it by. There's more here than just a symbolic thing. We have been given absolute direction of what to use for medicine, how to treat our body, and we pay not attention. Look, then took Mary of Bethany a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. My goodness gracious, folks, if it's good enough for Christ, is it not good enough for us? Yes! So I want you to make a shift. I want you to come alive with the Young Living Essential Oil Generation. And I want you to start snorting and rubbing oils and sharing them with everybody around you. And learn what it's like to feel alive and to have the spirit of energy and clarity of mind and the ability to go and do and give life to others. We can only do it through being an example.